Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Heather D. from Telford.
My name is Heather. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Heather.
So I'm nervous. Ooh. A lot of people are like, oh, an hour goes by really fast. And I'm like, an hour is a long time. But for anyone that knows me, I love to talk, so it should be no problem. let's see. My sobriety date is July 25th, 2014. So I just had a year back in July. I have a sponsor. She knows she's my sponsor. And I have a home group. It's in Telford. It meets on Thursdays at noon and 8:30 at night on Sunday. So if you're interested, come out and welcome. We'll welcome you. And, you know, so what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was born into a normal family, you know. I had two parents that were both in AA. One's still very active in AA. My other, no idea. And I had one brother who's 4 years older than me. I grew up in AA, pretty much, needless to say. You know, at the age of five, my father left, or six, my parents got divorced, and, you know, my mom became a single mom, and she had two kids to take care of, a full-time job, and sobriety. So me and my brother grew up in AA. You know, there's a couple people that I've literally known all of my life, you know, and I used to sit in meetings and draw people pictures and hand them out at break, and, you know, that's kind of how it was. And, you know, I didn't really see a problem, like, with my parents not being together at that point, just because I never had a good relationship with my father to begin with. So at that age, even at such a young age, you know, I was so happy that he was gone. Like, you know, it didn't really bother me that it was, you know, me and my brother, who's my brother's 4 years older, like I said. So even at, a young age, I was kind of, you know, I had an attitude problem a little bit. You know, I liked things my way. And if I didn't get my way, you know, I would have the typical temper tantrums and stuff like that. So that was even, you know, at a really young age. So I grew up, I did pretty well in school, you know, elementary school, middle school. I didn't really ever plan on drinking, you know. That wasn't, like, something I had planned on doing, because I saw how it affected people's lives, you know. People were coming here crying and, you know, screaming and cursing. And, you know, I can't tell you how old I was, but we were at one meeting and the guy was cursing and, you know, he had a bad day. And this one lady got up and was like, how dare you use the Lord's name in vain? And, you know, like I remember that kind of stuff. So, you know, being drunk wasn't something I really ever planned on doing. So I went to school. I was really tomboyish in school. You know, I always wore my hair up. I wore sweatpants and a t-shirt pretty much to school every day. I wouldn't say I had a lot of friends, but I had a little tiny group of friends. And, you know, I didn't really go out of my way, you know, that would be nice to people, but I wouldn't go out of my way to befriend people or, you know, stuff like that. I was shy. I know it's really hard to believe for people that know me. I was shy. And, you know, so I went through school and, I had my first drink at 13. My neighbor was having a little party and she stole some booze from her, you know, from her parents. And, you know, that was my first drink. And, you know, I didn't like it at all. It was not something I don't know, I wasn't too thrilled on the taste, I wasn't too thrilled how it made me feel. So at that point, I swore I wasn't gonna be drinking anymore. So I didn't drink, you know, I didn't drink again. And needless to say, there was no alcohol in my house, so that wasn't really something I ever had to think about, trying to steal booze from my parents. So I started culinary school and when I was 15, and I also, where I lived in a little town outside of here called Souderton, I got these new neighbors, and you know, I thought this was going to be, you know, the party of, you know, my whole life. This is how it's going to be, because, you know, I saw two young men who were like 23 and 24 having the time of their lives, getting drunk every day, you know. And I had a barbecue one night. My mom was out of town for the weekend, and I had a barbecue, which was, there was no alcohol. And then, you know, like the after party, like, is really where it happened, you know. And so I got, you know, drunk again, even though I said, you know, it wasn't something I wanted to do. But at that point, it was like where I wanted to just fit in, you know. Like, that's all I wanted to do was fit in. And now I saw, like, older people, and that even encouraged me more, because they had everything I could want. You know, I didn't have to, like, you know, stereotypical, like, I was a girl, I didn't have to pay for it, you know, just come to me. And so that's how it went. And you know, my mom was out of town, I had this party, my cousin was over, she got extremely intoxicated and ended up, like, getting alcohol poisoning and stuff like that. And so I got in a little bit of trouble for that, because, you know, I was like 15, and at that point I'd been, like, lying and stealing and, you know, doing anything possible. Like, my disease wasn't just, like, alcoholism, you know. It was anything to, like, get me outside of myself, and, you know, because that's what I liked. And, you know, I had that party, and then I was like, oh, I got in trouble. I'm probably, you know, I probably shouldn't do this again until next weekend came around. And, you know, they always had people over, So I was like, oh, this is fun. You know, I really started to like to do that. And at first it was only like Saturday nights, you know, and then because my mom went to meetings all the time, and, you know, my brother was moved out of the house, I had no problem like going to parties and stuff. And so, you know, she'd be at a meeting, and then Friday nights she would go out, and then, you know, it became Friday and Saturday nights, and then it was, like, Friday night, Saturday night, and then, like, only till, like, 11 o'clock on Sunday, you know, like, not the whole night, because I had to go to school in the morning. And, but, like, I still found a way to get drunk, you know. And, I always told myself I would never drink beer, because beer were for hobos, you know, like the real alcoholics. And, like, I wasn't going to be one of them. You know, I like tequila and stuff like that. You know, high end, you know, really living large. And, so I didn't really like to drink beer, so I didn't do that. And, but it wasn't even just about, like I said, it wasn't about, like, getting drunk. You know, it was anything that I could do to not be who I really was. And, like, that was my problem. Like, I didn't know who I was at such a young age. I was trying to be like every other person, and I don't know, I just became like, I tried to become really independent, and I realized, you know, I can't be independent when I'm stealing, you know, because technically I'm not really being independent. But so, you know, I partied every weekend, and it became Friday, you know, Saturday, Sunday. Then it became like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I mean, I was stealing like a lot of money. And one time I decided, I was like, oh, this is a good idea. My mom just got her paycheck cash. Gonna steal $100, you know, plus dollars at one time. And, you know, she hid it, so I couldn't find this money. And, you know, my alcoholism was like, well, you should look for it, you know, like, you should really search it out. So I did. And, you know, she took a half a day from work, and that didn't go over too well either. So she took me to Penn Foundation in Sellersville. And, like, this was, and then, you know, it was like where I was drinking every day. And, you know, these neighbors were like right, you know, there, you know, they were always there. They, like, didn't have a life, which, you know, I thought was super cool. But really, like, they weren't going anywhere in life. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do for myself. Like, if I followed that path, I was going to end up there. So she took me to Penn Foundation, and because I was still an adolescent, they wouldn't, like, take me in, but they recommended I go to, like, a, like, outpatient. So I started doing that, and, I just lied to the lady, to be honest, you know. I just lied to this counselor pretty much about everything. And, like, my addiction was to the point where I was like, you need to get away. You know, like, your mom doesn't want you anymore. You've caused enough problems. My brother was constantly telling me, you know, this is all your fault. This is your, you know, like, this is all your fault kind of stuff. So, you know, so I lied to the counselor lady, and she recommended I go have an assessment done. And, you know, like, I only was drinking for, at that point, like 4 months, and my life had like completely gone out of control. Like I said, I was in culinary school. I used to come in on Monday mornings and like I'd be like falling asleep while chopping stuff. I'd be like trying to serve people food and not remember, you know, kind of stuff. Like I was so hungover every Monday morning that, like I said, my life was just going down. And so I had this evaluation at Penn Foundation, and she, you know, they recommended I get inpatient. And, you know, like that came because I lied. You know, that was part of my addiction. I lied about everything. And so I went inpatient, and, you know, I went right actually up the road. I went to Pyramid Rehabilitation Center, and I walked in there, and, you know, every single person had problems worse than me, and, like, I was the only one that drank. You know, every other person was, like, shooting dope, doing pills, you know, like, robbing banks, getting DUIs, and, well, I couldn't even get a DUI. I didn't have a driver's license, you know what I mean? So that wasn't – but I did drive drunk, so, you know, I'm very grateful that I never got pulled over. But – So I went in there, and for the first, like, 2 weeks, I was very, very, very much in denial. I was like, there's no way I have a problem. You know, like I said, everyone was worse than me. And then, you know, I kind of got honest with myself, you know, and I was like, what kid drinks this much? What person looks forward to their next drink more than, you know, like, looks forward to seeing their family or, you know, doing stuff like that or hanging out with their friends? Like, I, at that point, I had lost all of my friends, you know, because I thought my friends were people that gave me alcohol. And, you know, they're not my friends. They're just suppliers, needless to say. And so I went in there, I was in there for like 2 weeks until I finally like accepted the fact that, you know what, I have a drinking problem, you know, and for me, I believe it's genetical, you know, it's hereditary, and you know, I got screwed, you know, I got both ends of the stick, and so I went, you know, after I finally came to like terms, with that, I really started to, like, apply myself, and, you know, they gave you, like, a step book in there, which, you know, I, like, glanced through every day and stuff like that, and, they gave you, like, all these worksheets to do, and, had, like, family sessions, and, a Bible study, which for me was really big, because, like, God is really, like, to me, today, God is really, really, really number one for me, and at that point, you know, like, I had grown up in church, you know, every week, Sunday school, every week going to church. You know, that was one thing my mom did for me and my brother, took us every week. So at that point I had, you know, I kind of lost not my faith, so to speak, but like going to church wasn't my biggest priority. You know, my biggest priority was going out on a Saturday night and not coming home until Sunday morning. So I had kind of drifted away from a church, from a God. I didn't really pray much anymore unless, you know, it was one of those, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. You know, I can't tell you how many times I said, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. Because, like, I had all intentions of never doing it again. You know, I really did. I didn't want to live this life. But I wasn't really ready to accept it. So after I had went through rehab and, you know, I was in there a month. And, you know, I came to the terms that, you know what, just because everyone else has, you know, quote unquote, worse problems than me doesn't mean, you know, my problems are any less important to me, you know, because they're my problems. So I got out and I went to a meeting the first night, because, you know, that's what they told you to do, go to a meeting. And, at that, you know, I grew up in AA, so I knew that kind of stuff. And, you know, I got out and I stayed sober for a while. I went to meetings. I talked to people. I participated in meetings, I did service work, stuff like that. But the one thing I was missing was I didn't get a sponsor. You know, I had the excuse of everyone knows my mom, I can't have a sponsor, you know, because, you know, everyone knows my mom, they're going to tell her everything. You know, I couldn't do that. As if she didn't know everything already, you know. So that didn't really last too long, and I relapsed in February, and you know, at that point, I wasn't really too sure, you know. I had that questioning of, you know, am I really an alcoholic? You know, do I really belong here with all you, you know, because I was young, so all you old people, that wasn't working for me. You know, I wanted young people. And, you know, 4 years ago, there's not, you know, all these young people sitting along the sides and in the back, like, there was not that many people here, you know. There was a lot of older people, and which I was used to, you know. I saw all these old people, so you know, a lot of them were just like, hey, you know. And but there was that like big lack of young people missing from, you know, sobriety. And you know, I was like, I can't relate to you old people, you know, like you lost your husbands and your cars and your houses and your jobs, and like I'm, you know, like 16 and I go to high school, you know. That was my biggest problem. I go to high school. So you know, I came right back, and like I said, I wasn't too sure if this was going to work. So I looked for a sponsor again. You know, that was my first, like, okay, obviously that didn't work for me last time. You know, let me try this time. So I looked for a sponsor, and it took me like a couple of months, which I don't recommend waiting. Even if you get like a temporary sponsor, someone to talk to, someone to help you get, you know, started in the book, someone that, you know, because not everything you should be sharing in meetings, and I've learned that as well. Like, some things you just don't need to share in a meeting. Some things are left better confidential with a sponsor. You know, so I looked for a sponsor, and then, like, I started, like, looking for other women, which, like, for big for me, because I don't like women. And, you know, like, that also runs hereditary. And, So I started like looking for other women who like I could help. And, even at that point, like I had a couple months when I started working with my sponsor. And she was like, okay, we'll find a meeting you can chair, you know, or find, you know, look for that next newcomer that walks through, you know. And, I kind of started to do that. And, you know, it was going really well. I was like, yeah, this is great. I have a sponsor. And like, of course, like when you get that sponsor, you have to tell everyone like, hey, I got a sponsor, and, make sure everyone knows that you have a sponsor, because everyone was like ragging on you about getting one. So I got a sponsor, and, I was not, you know, she gave me the book and told me to read little stuff. And, I was kind of like where I was like, no. And, I was like, I'll go to the meetings. I'll do all the service commitments. I'll do, you know, I love doing that, because at this point I was like, yeah, I love hanging out with AA people. And because all the kids my age now are drinking, you know, and I was kind of like, this might be good for me. You know, this whole thing might be good for me. Because when I first came in here, you know, I failed a couple classes in school, so I was kicked out of culinary school, which, you know, that's been my life dream. And, you know, I kind of thought about that stuff that I had lost, even just in such a short amount of time, you know. And, I started doing as much service commitments as I could. You know, I waited, like I said, waited for that new person to come through the door. And I called my sponsor every day until, you know, her schedule wasn't jimmying with mine anymore, you know. And then, like, I just came up with more excuses. And, like, I didn't realize that, you know, I was coming up with excuses until, you know, much later down the road. But I stayed sober without a sponsor, which I also don't recommend. And I found myself, I was going to a lot of speaker meetings, which, you know, a lot of, you know, speaker meetings are good, don't get me wrong. But there's also, you know, other types of meetings that you need to attend to, further your, I don't know the word I'm trying to find. But like further your AA, so to speak. You know, there's like good step meetings and, you know, that kind of stuff, and, discussions. And, you know, at that point I had kind of, you know, my sponsor and I kind of just stopped talking. And, you know, like her daughter went to school when I did, you know, so when her daughter came home, like that wasn't really, she couldn't talk with me and, you know, so we just kind of stopped talking and I went about my time and, I didn't get a sponsor and I, you know, I kind of white knuckled it through and, you know, if I had a problem, like I would just tell my mom, you know, that's okay, right? Like she can, you know, I was always like, she's not my sponsor, but I would like tell her everything. So, I did that for almost four years. And, you know, I found myself going through a lot of, death, you know, where I went to school, there was kids dying left and right. And, you know, I had a couple, you know, close ones. And, you know, I was like, I'll be okay. Like, I'm going to stay sober. And, because I had made it this far, you know, I was determined to like not give up, you know, the whole, I'm going to do this time. And I'm like, I found myself doing that a lot. I'm going to do this time. And, you know, it just never, I don't know. I could never follow through with what I said. And, that had lasted me until, like I said, until like the beginning of 2014. I'd found myself kind of not wanting to go to, like before I'd really liked to go to meetings because I loved seeing people. You know, I loved like hearing different things that people were saying. And like at that point, more younger people were coming in. So like that was cool. And, you know, I was like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can do this on my own, which, you know, you can't do it on your own. If you're new, you can't do this on your own. So don't try. You don't have to learn the hard way like I did. And, at the beginning of 2014, I kind of found myself declining a little bit, just in different situations, like even, you know, I started going to a new church and, you know, I found myself like, I wanted to connect with a higher power of some sort, but like, it wasn't there, you know, like there was something missing and I could not place my finger on it at the point, at a point of time. So from the beginning of like 2014 till July 2014, I really kind of spiraled down a little bit and, I don't know. I kind of knew in my head I was eventually going to relapse the way I was going because I didn't want to change. And like, that's such an important part of this program is changing like everything about yourself. And when people say, oh, you need to change everything about yourself, I'm like, I'm awesome. You know, like I'm so cool. So, you know, I'm really cool. And, like I thought my crap didn't stink. And, you know, so I kind of, you know, had my nose up to everyone and, you know, like my super cool 18-year-old, you know, 19-year-old self knew everything about the world, you know. So I'd gone about 6 months and, you know, between this time I had started lying again, which was huge for me. I stopped going to church, stopped praying, stopped reaching out, you know. But, like, on the outside, I had made everything seem like it was okay, you know, because, like, that was important to me, to make sure everything looked okay so people wouldn't ask me questions about, you know, like, oh, are you still sober? Well, of course I'm still sober, you know. Like, why would you even ask me that? Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen you, you know, in a couple weeks, like, at this meeting. And at that point, I had made, like, I started helping a girl and we went to meetings everywhere together. Like we would go to like 3 meetings a day and, you know, we went all over the place and like, that was really cool because I got to meet a lot of people. But eventually that friendship kind of fell to the wayside and, you know, like I was all alone again, but my brother was getting married in July and, you know, in June, I had a falling out and, with my mom and, you know, I called my brother and I was like, you know, I don't have anywhere to go. So I moved in with him and his crazy crazy wife and, crazy fiance at the time. And, you know, like that was just such a sick situation for me. And the whole time I lived there, you know, I didn't really go to meetings. You know, like my priority was like doing nothing. you know, like really, really important, doing nothing. And, you know, so I lived there for a while, and eventually, you know, I found out she was cheating on him and all this other stuff. So my mom let me come back home, and, you know, I was determined to, like, get back on the right path, you know. But it just, like I said, there was something missing. But, like, I was still trying to do everything, you know, on the outside. But inside, there was something missing. And so I went home, and they ended up getting married, and I was in the wedding, then I was out of the wedding, then I was like, you can still come to the wedding, and then I was out of the wedding again, and the day of the wedding, she was like, my brother called me, and he was like, listen, I'm not getting married to her unless you come, blah, 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 and so I ended up going, even though, like, you know, I was like, I'm not going to this wedding, I'm going to show everyone, and I ended up going, and I went, and you know, I was so excited. Like, I knew I was going to drink, you know, I knew it as soon as I got to this wedding. You know, I was like, let's get through the wedding, you know, at the church so we can go to the open bar, you know, like that's what I was looking forward to. And, we got to the reception and my table was kind of like, cause I'm, you know, my brother's sister. So I sat right in the front, you know, and, I looked to my right and there's that bar and like, I felt such a warmth and like my heart like felt warm again, you know, and I went and, just like that, I was off to the races, you know, and, so, and there was at least like 10 people that knew I was in sobriety there. And somehow I just kind of wiggled it around, you know, I would like put my drink down over here so no one would see that I was drinking or like, you know, stuff like that. I'd be like, oh, can you put that in a different glass? Like, you know, stuff. I didn't want anyone else to know. And especially because I was underage. And, it was just, you know, the reception was like 4 p.m. and like, I didn't stop drinking until the next. Till nighttime, you know, until the next morning. And I had gone home and like my friend picked, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to get home? And, you know, so my friend had picked me up and I went home and, the whole like guilt part set in and I obviously wasn't, you know, I was just going to try and play it off like, okay, no one goes to meetings that was at this wedding. So I'll be okay. I'm just going to not tell anyone until, you know, social media comes out. And, so it came out that I was drinking and, you know, I pretty much two options. I was either ready to change my life around or once again, be on my own, for real this time. And my mom had enough of my actions and, my lies and, you know, stealing and all that kind of stuff again. And, so I had checked myself into another, mental health behavioral place because, you know, I'd figured like, you know, alcohol is not the problem. It's in my head. You know, it's all in my head. And like, I started the promises again, you know, like I won't do this again. I'm not going to do this again. I promise I've changed. And, you know, I'd planned to be in there for like, I didn't plan to be in there a really, really long time. It was only supposed to be like a temporary thing. And, the doctor was like, well, you know, you can leave, you know, like I'm discharging you. And, the lady was like, okay, let's call your mom to tell her you can come home. And, you know, my mom made the hardest decision she had to as a parent, told me I couldn't come home. And for the first time, like I was told no, you know, like the first time, like I actually had, a repercussion from my decision. And, you know, I had nowhere to go. I was like this young kid and I was out of school and, I had nowhere to go. But thankfully there was this one girl I was friends with and her mom was like, okay, well you can come stay with us, you know? And, she quote unquote said she knew what it was like and all this other stuff. And, so I was like, oh, this will be great. I'm moving out. This is going to be so fun. Until I got there and, I went, you know, the first day there, I like went and I opened the top, you know, like where everyone keeps their booze, like the top cabinet. And I was like, holy crap. You know, it was just filled with booze. And here her fiance drank alcoholically. And I was like, oh boy, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I didn't know if I could do it. And, but like, I had nowhere else to go. I had no other options. And, you know, my parents weren't going to let me come home until I got my life together. And, but at that point I had started like, you know, I got a job, you know, which was like the biggest thing. I got a job and then, you know, I still going to meetings and stuff like that. So long story short, I was at a GSR meeting and, you know, this lady took all of my stuff and put it on the front yard. And I was like, well, you know, I was like, Mom, I literally have nowhere else to go. So, she let me come home, you know, with all the rules and stuff like that. And came home. I was doing really good. You know, that's like when I really decided, like, I want this and I want this more than anything and I'm not giving up, you know? So I moved home and things were good. And, you know, I finally found myself a sponsor. And this time I was like, this sponsor is going to work, you know? Not that like I, what's the word? Not like that. I wanted it any more than I did the time before, but like I just got to the point where I was like, I had enough, you know, like I wanted it just as bad, but things were on a different, you know, circumstance, I guess you want to call it. So I got a sponsor and, you know, we started doing a lot of stuff together and, you know, I started meeting a lot of young people and like, this was fantastic. This was like the greatest thing, you know, I started going to meetings all over and I don't know, things like it was just different this time around. And you know, like I didn't know if I could do it, you know. I didn't have very much hope in myself from, you know, the times before, so I honestly didn't know if I could do it or not. So I went home, you know, like I said, I went home, got a job, started back on the right path, got a sponsor, started going to different meetings, meeting new people, chairing, speaking, going into institutions, all that kind of stuff. Like, and I thought my life was like fulfilled, you know, going to conventions. I worked on my relationship with my mother. You know, I had a really, really, really supportive best friend at the time. And, sorry, that's really bad. At the time, I still do. Have that good friend. And, so I went home and, let's see. So things like changed, like I said, and, you know, I said earlier about going to that church. I started going to that church again and like I started, you know, the pastor was like, it doesn't matter like what you say when you pray, but like, you need to pray. Like, you need to have a higher power. You need someone to talk to. That is not you. It's not someone else. Like, you need to have a higher power. And I wasn't really ready for that because so much bad things had happened where I was like, you know, I wasn't really sure if I really wanted to believe, you know. And I'd like go to church with my mom and, you know, not like the church I started going to, but I'd go to church with my mom and I'd sit in the church the whole time and like text and, you know, not really pay attention. And I don't know. I didn't want to find a higher power. I didn't want to have someone to pray to every day and every night. And, you know, I didn't want someone to thank for keeping me sober. Because I still kind of had that like in me where it was like, this is me, you know, I'm keeping myself sober. And, which is like really far from the truth. So if you feel like that, you should also find a sponsor and they'll tell you that that's really far from the truth. Because like I said, this is not a you program. This is a we program. But so, you know, I started going to, like I said, I was going to convention, like young people's conventions and just meeting all these people and doing a lot of service. And, now we're like up to, you know, the present. And, you know, I find myself today, like, I've gone through a ridiculous amount you know, of things in my life. And, you know, like, I'm still standing, still alive. And, like, that's not by me today. Like, that's by the grace of God for keeping me along, you know, keeping me here this long. And, like, obviously I have a purpose today, because if I didn't have a purpose, I wouldn't be standing. And sometimes I think, I'm like, you know, I'm so young, like, what can I offer people? But, like, they always tell me, like, someone with a day, with a month, with, you know, 6 months, with a year comes in, like, you can still help them. And I don't know, you know, I go to conventions and I meet all these people, and, you know, I try to go to church when I can, and, today, like, my sobriety isn't about me. And, like, for the longest time, I thought it was about me. And, you know, left to my own devices, I'm a very self-centered person. And as long as I'm okay, I really don't care if you're okay. And, you know, that also comes with my alcoholism. Like, I don't know. Like, I had thought that I learned my lesson. And even, like, in the past, I'd say the past, like, 6 months, I've really, really, really worked on myself, which, like, who wants to, like, look at themselves? You know, you can look at every other person and, you know, tell them what's wrong with them, but, like, who wants to look at themselves? And, you know, like, I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes. You know, I make mistakes every day, and, like, because I'm human. Not because I'm an alcoholic, because I'm human. But today, like, I have people I can call, which, you know, picking up your phone is really hard to do sometimes. I understand. But today I've, like, come to realize that if I don't pick up that phone, I might go back out. And, like, this time I'm not giving up my spot in AA for anything. You know, times get tough. Like, it's life. You know, we just have we're lucky we have a place to come to talk about it, to see other people, that, like, have the same problem, you know. Sorry, hold on. My sponsor, who is also young, she and I, you know, we started, like, to set aside a day, you know, like, where we would start going through the book, which for me was, like, really big, because that wasn't, I didn't have any plans of, like, sitting down and actually reading the whole book. Like, my old sponsor would be like, okay, read 4 pages. And then she'd be like, you know, okay, skip 27 and then read, like, another 6 pages. Like, she didn't sit me down and we didn't really start going through it. And, you know, so I didn't really, I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't sure if it was going to be for me or not. But she kind of started just nagging on me, like, hey, how about we do the big book? And I'm like, I think we have plans tonight, you know, or I'd be like, oh, let's go to this other meeting. Because, like, for me, I knew what those steps were about, and, I didn't want to do them, you know, and even, like, now I'm still working on my steps, and, you know, I earlier had said, I didn't want to get a sponsor because I didn't want them to know my mom. And, like, that fourth step, like, I have a notebook at home, and, you know, like, I went and I did my fourth step, and, you know, like, I carried that fourth step around with me, like, folded up, because I didn't want anyone to find it and tell my mom. Like, that's how worried I was. And, like, I don't even think she knows that. So, surprise. You know, for me, like, that was really scary. Like, that was one of my biggest problems, is I didn't want that to come out. And, you know, I used that, like I said, I'd use that as an excuse not to do my steps or find a sponsor. And having a sponsor is really cool. Like, I would have never guessed. And, like, today I have so many people's, like, so many women's phone numbers, which for me is totally crazy. And, like, I actually talk to them on a regular basis. Like, every single day I make sure I talk to, you know, a bunch of people from AA. And, like, my biggest thing today is, like, helping other people. I love to help people. You know, I'm in a career where I help old people. I work at a retirement home. I'm a dietary manager. And, you know, people are like, you like to work there? They all die. And I'm like, yeah, but I love to help people. And, AA gave me that, you know, AA gave me my life. And, you know, I'm, I'm not perfect, like I said. And, you know, I still sometimes, you know, I don't know when, like, I'm, like, at a loss for words. When enough is enough, like, sometimes I like to, like, push people, like, come on, you better do this, you better go to this meeting. And, like, today it's not my place to tell anyone what meeting to and to not go to. And, like, that's also something I've learned, like, boundaries in AA. You need boundaries, because if you don't, you're just going to get walked all over. And, you know, like, for these steps, like, admitting I was powerless was so easy because, like, that kind of was, like, an out. Not an out, but being like, you know what, I'm done. You know, I'm here, I'm done. I am powerless over, you know, I'm not just powerless over my alcoholism. I'm powerless over everyone else sitting in this room. You know, like, my mom's always taught me, like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. It's like, I could give you a big book 20 times over, but you're not going to read it. You know, you may not. But having that seed planted is really important. But my favorite step here is number 6, you know, entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Because for me, I have a lot of things wrong with me, and, which is really shocking, I know. And, you know, I sometimes like to think, like I said, like, I'm better than everyone else because, as before, I thought, like, I'm too young, you know, I don't belong here. Like, today, I'm like, I'm so young and I have a whole life ahead of me and I have so many people I can help. And like, for me today, I get excited about going to meetings, which is super cool because meetings are awesome. I've learned so much. And like, someone special always said to me, you may not like the person speaking or, you know, the person sharing, but like there's probably going to be someone that shares that says something that you're going to take home from that meeting, whether it be like something really small or like a huge life lesson. And like also something really important is, people say, oh, I'm too tired to go to a meeting or I don't want to go to a meeting, but like, when you don't want to go to that meeting is when you really should go. And if I learned anything in this program, there's two times you should go to a meeting, when you want to and when you don't want to. Because generally you're always going to want to or not want to do something in life. But I didn't get sober to sit at home and not do anything, you know. In August, I had gone to a young people's convention, which is super cool. So all of you young people should come next year. And all of you older gentlemen and ladies, you can all come too. Isn't that great? Because we don't discriminate. And it's really fun. So I went to this young people's convention and, you know, they had all these workshops and stuff on the big book and, they had like mini assemblies and, you know, panels and all this other stuff. And, I had gone and, you know, on Saturday night we were, you know, having a lot of fun. And, you know, like I said, I didn't get sober to be boring. And, you know, I guess I had a little too much fun. And I ended up in the hospital having a seizure. And, you know, my first priority was, like, I didn't drink. You know, like, I was in the hospital. I was telling the nurse, I didn't drink. I didn't drink. You know, like, that was my biggest worry, is that, like, I went to the bar and, you know, because it was at a nice hotel and all this other stuff. And then, like, my second worry was, like, okay, I got drugged. You know, like, how am I going to tell people, like, oh, I was drugged? Everything came back and I didn't. But, the last, like, month and a half has tested my patience, you know. I'm out of work, you know, which leaves me a lot of free time to do steps and, call people, and for me, you know, I like to text people, which is way easier than calling because I'm still kind of working on that. I get like really, like for me, even standing up here, because I don't know a lot of you, I get like really bad fright. So, you know, even if it's like a quick like text, like, hey, good morning. Like, I hope you have a good day. And like, there's just one kid who sometimes doesn't send me the daily meditation. And like, I really enjoy reading that. Today I'm like on the Area Grapevine panel, which is super cool. So if you like know anything about the program, it goes like here and then it's like a GSR meeting and then the area, the district and then the area. And, you know, like I have all of that because I got involved. I did service, you know, and sometimes people are like, you do too much service, but it's like, if I don't submerge myself in service work, I'm going to have nothing, you know, because without every single person in that room, my higher power, you know, my sponsor, stuff like that, like my support system, I have nothing today. I always tell people, like, if you were given a second chance at this life, like, don't waste it, you know, because your higher power obviously saw fit to give you a second chance, you know, so, like, don't spit in his face kind of thing. You know, I enjoy, like I said, I love going to meetings today. I like to help people. I'm working on my steps with my sponsor who, you know, like life gets crazy. You know, it just happens. Like life gets crazy. I don't get to see her as often as I like to, you know. But like I said, there's still that phone and like there's this really awesome thing as like FaceTime and Skype these days where you don't have to be like right with the person and you can still see them, which is really cool. You know, I do service where I can. Like I've never spoken an hour, so this is crazy. But for everyone that knows me, I love to talk, so it kind of worked out. I love to go to like institutions and like, you know, like Penn Foundation or like where I can give back and go, to other rehabs, speak. I love to speak, you know, at the detox over at St. Luke's when I have the chance. And, you know, I have my hand out today. Like, I always make sure I put my number on that list that goes around to the newcomer, because, like I said, the newcomer's the most important person, because without them, like, the AA's gonna fall apart. You know, people die. People get old. People are gonna die. And, like, if you keep on passing that tradition down and, you know, showing them how it works, like, to have a strong program, you know, we're all gonna stay alive. And, you know, if I could like wish for every single person in this whole, you know, room to like never go back out, like I would, because it's not worth it. You know, I'm still young. I have a whole life ahead of me. And if I would have stayed sober from my first time around, I would, you know, I wish I would have. And for as many people as told me, like, you're too young to be an alcoholic, and people always used to say to me, you saved yourself all these years. I wish I could have gotten sober at that age. And I'm like, no, you know, because it's hard. It's hard work to stay sober. Like I said, life throws you curveballs. You know, life isn't easy 24/7, but it's like having, you know, they always say like your AA tool belt. You know, I have like tools on there today, which is, you know, all by the grace of God. It's all by God. You know, I'm lucky to be standing here. I'm lucky to be able to talk to all of you. I'm blessed today to, you know, have a mom that I have a good relationship with, and especially like going through all these hard times. Like, if I was drinking, I would have, number one, I wouldn't even have been at that conference. I probably would have been at some party. And, you know, I can't say that would have or would not have happened. But at least I was sober for it. And like today I enjoy being sober. Like, I don't even want to drink. And like, that's the greatest gift in the world, is not wanting to pick up that drink. And, you know, thank you so much for asking me to come and speak. Thank you all for being welcoming. And I don't have anything else to say. So thank you.